Why do I like this topic? And it's very timely because of Parshas Kedoshim, which is V'chai Bohem, and we'll soon see that to some extent the concept of Pikuach Nefesh is, especially with regard to Shabbos, is going to be derived from V'chai Bohem. So, but that's sort of like just a technical, mechanical reason why this subject of Pikuach Nefesh is relevant to Parshas Kedoshim, which we'll read in just a few days. But the reason why I like this topic is because what I find is that sometimes in halacha there seems to be a tendency to be machmir. And I think sometimes that's a good thing. You know, it's fine to be machmir, but sometimes I think it's a bad thing. How are you doing, Yechiel?
Hey, Rabbi.
How's it going? I haven't seen you in ages, you know. Topic here very excites me because there are many cases where, you know, people think you have to be machmir in halacha, and I would agree with them, it's always good to be machmir, why not take the high road? But in this case, Adarabba, what the Gemara says in Masechta Beis HaKoch, that Tera Od, if it's better to go with a heter, and I'm going to try to prove to you that in the case of Pikuach Nefesh, that's where we want to go. We're not looking for chumras over here. Alright. The sugya begins in Masechta Yoma on Daf Pei Hei, and it continues from Pei Hei Amud Aleph to Pei Hei Amud Beis.
Page one of the source.
So yeah, that's what I was about to say. And the Gemara asks on the second of the wide lines, towards the end of that line, it says Minayin lepikuach nefesh edoches hashabbos. Now the Gemara thinks that you need a source to assume that we override the Shabbos. Shabbos is a chiyuv misa, and it may be a mitzvah to save someone's life, but a mitzvah doesn't override the Shabbos. Like, take for example this Gemara in Yevamos that says that for the sake of Kibud Av, which one of the big ten, we're not going to override the Shabbos. So if my father asks me to cook for him on Shabbos, I don't do so. And it's very rare that with Docha Shabbos, I mean, the mitzvah of Milah is one example of Docha Shabbos, but there aren't that many. And the other example would be Pikuach Nefesh. And the Gemara wants no Minayin. You have to have a source for that if you want to violate the Shabbos. And the Gemara answers that the basis for this, according to Rabbi Yishmael, is the parsha of B'machteres. So what happens is that a person breaks into your house, a burglar, and the Torah says that you don't even know if he's endangering your life. He may just be interested in stealing your possessions. And nevertheless, you're allowed to take his life. So you see that for the sake of mammon, and in order to protect yourself, you're allowed to violate this. And the Gemara says that if you're allowed to do that, then certainly for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh, you're allowed to violate even Shabbos. The Gemara goes on to offer a second answer, which is on Pei Amud Beis, and that's Rabbi Elazar. He says that we derive it from Mila. Mila is the one case which is Docha Shabbos, if it's Mila Bizmana. And if for the sake of Mila we're going to violate the Shabbos, how much more so for the greater mitzvah of Hatzolos Nefashos? Then we have another answer. Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, he offers a different answer because it says, "V'shomru b'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos, Amra Torah, Chalel of Shabbos achas k'dei sheyishmar Shabbosos harve." In other words, in the trade-off, we're going to make the following calculation. It's just a pragmatic calculation. We'll violate one Shabbos, save his life, and he'll fulfill and observe many Shabbos. So that's a good trade-off. And then finally, we have Shmuel, and Shmuel says that, and that brings us to Parshas Kedoshim, v'chai bohem v'lo sheyomus bohem. The Torah says, live by them. And again, there are going to be various exceptions to that rule of v'chai bohem, but Shabbos is not one of those exceptions. The Gemara actually gives an accolade and gives a check for Shmuel for the last of these explanations. And the Gemara says, in each case, we have a pircha, we can somehow, you know, puncture a hole in the balloon, and we have an argument against the limud. But in the case of Shmuel, that's absolutely airtight, and we have no question on Shmuel. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi adds a little bit of an embellishment on this. He says Shmuel lesle pircha. It says Asher yaseh ha'adam HaMitzvos SheYichya Bahem. The Torah says you should fulfill the mitzvahs and live by them. Vadai, we should certainly do everything that guarantees that you can live by them. Velo SheYovo BaAsiyasan Lidei Sofek. And if you come through the mitzvah to become a Sofek, meaning that maybe you'll die, Sofek Misa, is then your Mechalel. So the Gemara basically says the following, that all the limudim, all the alfuses that are brought here by Rabbi Shmuel, or by Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, by Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, they all lead us in the dark as far as Sofek. Let's say I don't know for sure I could save his life if I violate the Shabbos. So in those cases, we really don't know. Is it worth it to violate one Shabbos bevadai for the sake of a Sofek pikuach nefesh? But in the case of Shmuel, the Gemara assumes that since his limud is from V'chai Bohem, that applies not just to the case of a Vadai, but even to a case of a Sofek. So that's what we have here on Pei Dalet Pei He. Now, the Gemara on this daf adds another point of great significance. The Gemara says, and this you'll see on the bottom of page 1, the Gemara says, "Ein osim dvarim alalu lo yidei nachrim lo yidei kusim." According to one gear, "Lo yidei nashim el al yidei gdolei Yisrael." Who is meant to violate the Shabbos on behalf of the Cholet? Why don't we send a guy? Or why don't we send a kusi? His status is questionable. And the Gemara says, "No. Who are we going to send? The gdolei Yisrael." And, you know, in the case of a guy, for example, Mitztarfin Ladas Acheres, maybe we can use his opinion as to how and when we should call this a Bikuach Nefesh. But as far as actually implementing the violation of the Shabbos for the sake of the Cholet to save his life, there it's Gedolei Yisrael. And again, Rabosa, I think this indicates that we're not looking for kulos over here. You know, go run around and say, well, let's find the non-Jewish physician, you know, to hook him up to a machine and poke him in his veins, you know, for intravenous and violate the Shabbos through the agency of a guy. That would be a nice chumrah. But the Gemara goes to the other extreme. The Gemara doesn't just say, well, you know what? You don't have to run around and look for a guy. The Gemara says, let the Gedolei Yisrael violate the Shabbos, because that's going to publicize and indicate to everyone that this is the mitzvah. This is what we have to do. We think that, oh, you know what? We have a mitzvah of Shabbos. It's the greatest mitzvah of all. And we can talk about Shabbos from now till not this Shabbos, but the Shabbos after that. We wouldn't say enough about the Shabbos. How could we violate the Shabbos? Okay, we have to violate the Shabbos. Why? Because v'chai bohem. No, that's not what we're saying. That we have to violate the Shabbos. We're going to look for the Gedolei Yisrael to violate the Shabbos. Because now there's no Shabbos. The mitzvah is to save his life. Don't even think about the Shabbos. And that's going to lead us to the next topic, which is the same topic as what we've been discussing. And that is the Yushalmi. Now the Yushalmi you'll find on page 2, I believe. Let me just make sure I'm not misleading you. Yeah, there it is on the top of page 2. Tana Rabbanan, it says on top page 2, Hazariz Meshubach. When you have a Bikuach Nefesh, the person who Zariz, who takes no hesitation, and he doesn't dilly-dally, and he does whatever he can in the best way possible, and in the most urgent way, he's Meshubach. And despite the fact that he's violating the Shabbos, this is our hero for today. You know, today is the day here in my part of the world where we're identifying and commemorating the loss of many heroes. So the hero is the guy who violates the Shabbos. And then it says, Vahanishal Meguna. And he was asked the question, he's the opposite of Meguna. The opposite of Meshubach, he's Meguna. I don't know, how do you translate the word Meguna? He's like despicable, you know, fat. And then the worst of all is Hashoel, is the one who asked the question. He's Hareza Shofech Domin. Now, what does this mean? If you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch, because we're really fast forwarding here, but to Simon Shin Chaf Chesen Archaim, that's the law of Chol B'Shabbos, you will see that the Mechaber Paskins on the top of page 4 in Sif Bey's second line, he says, Mishi Yesh Lo Choli Shal Sakona Mitzvah Lechalel all of us a Shabbos V'azoriz HaReze Meshubach V'ashoel HaReze Shofech Domin. It's all right. You see it?
Yeah.
So he leaves out the nishal. Maybe he didn't understand what the Yerushalmi was talking about in the case of a nishal. But the Mishnah Berurah fills in the missing blank here. He says Vashoel also a ishu mischased. He became a big chassid, and he's afraid. He's hesitating to violate the Shabbos, and he runs around for a mora hora. You know, I got to get the okay from the rabbi. In the meantime, while he gets a question asked, the chole becomes very weak, and he might drop dead. And then he says, "Yushalmi Isa." The Yushalmi adds another category, and that is the case of a nishal. What's a nishal? Perush, says the Mishnah Berurah, Mishum Shetamud Chacham Bimkomo. In other words, the Nishal, the one to whom the question was asked, is apparently a great scholar, but he messed up on one point. Hayelo Lidrosh Bipirka Lakol. This is a topic, an issue, which he should have publicized, the halachas, and tell everybody that in a case of Pikuach Nefesh, or even Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, we have to violate the Shabbos, Kadesh Yedu as Kol Ha'am. He has to guarantee that the people are so familiar with these halachas that lo yitztarchu l'shalo, they shouldn't even have to ask the question. And therefore, again, he's not a shofet damim. He's not as bad as the one who dilly-dallied, but he's the cause of it all, because had he taught Torah the way he should have taught Torah, they never would have hesitated in this case. So he's in the back of the, you know, of the cause here, and therefore he is considered a maguna, it's a fair. Maybe they should depose him and remove his smicha. I don't know if you can revoke smicha. And the truth is that I don't think the Mishnah Berurah invented this. I think he got it from the super commentary on the Yerushalmi. Let's go back to page 2 to the Yerushalmi. Hanishal maguna, says the Karban Eda, Shahailo Lidrosh Dvarim Elu Barabim Shayedu Aum Kodem Amaisa. Some things you have to teach even before the question comes up. And if it's a matter of Pikuach Nefesh, don't wait until the question comes up and people run around like chickens without a head because they don't know what the answer to the question is. Should they violate the Shabbos? Should they not? And they start sittering and they get nervous and they start hesitating. And meanwhile, the guy drops dead, Chas V'Shalom. So you, as the rabbi of the community, should have been teaching these halachas publicly, and if you didn't, then I raise them a guna, that's fair. And at this point, I have to tell you a story. My father told me that he heard this story twice from his Rebbe, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And he said that the story goes that Rav Moshe was visiting his father in Brisk, and his little baby, Yosha Bear, that's my Rebbe, got very sick with a very high fever. And Rav Moshe tells the following story. He says they brought in the doctor, it was a Friday night, and the doctor saw how high the fever was for this little child, and he says, you have to turn down the lights. In those days they had kerosene lights, and you had to turn it down because he said the light was bothering the eyes of the child, and with high fever that's dangerous. So Rav Moshe gets a pkuda, he gets a command from his father Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim says to him, take care of it. And Rav Moshe starts shaking. So Rav Chaim picks up his foot, slams it down, and he says, "Du amaretz du bistu." To his own son. He called the worst thing in Litta that you can call a person is an amaretz. I mean, yeah, if you call him a shagetz, that wouldn't be so bad. And my father told me that years later, Rav Moshe, because he was in the shir for 5 years, years later, Rav Moshe told the same story, and he picked up his foot exactly where he picked up his foot the last time. Because that's part of the Masorah, you understand?
That's the brisker derech.
That's it. You have to. Everything
have to
is part of
the
Masorah. They say about Rav Baruch Baer that when he said over a shir, in the name of Rav Chaim, he used to pick up his pants in the middle of the shir, exactly where Rav Chaim picked up his pants. All right. So what we see from this story, and basically from the Yerushalmi, is that we have to do everything that's possible to guarantee, even in case of suffering pikuach nefesh, and we don't start getting nervous about it and hesitating. We got to do what we have to. So, for example, you have the case of Yoledes. We'll talk about that later if we get a chance. And she has to go to a hospital. She's about to give birth, and birth is very tricky. So the halacha is she doesn't have to ask for a goyish driver. You know, again, if there's a driver available, that's one thing. But start running around and calling and get me a guy. That's not necessary. And the Gadol Bisrael should drive her to the hospital. Now, as far as the husband is concerned, that's complicated. If she needs her husband along, and that's true for any chola who needs someone along, because otherwise he doesn't have what's called Yishuv Hadas. That's like the case of turning down the kerosene in order that the child shouldn't be, the light might hurt his eyes. But I wouldn't say that the same law that applies to her applies to him. In other words, that let's say, for example, if he could drive the car in a way that he limits, the Chil Shabbos, that might be a good idea. And there are all sorts of issues about whether or not he's allowed to drive back on Shabbos after she gives birth. So, those are serious shilas. I'm not talking about. But I'm talking about A, the Yoledes herself, and B, to the extent that she feels she has to have her husband with her. That situation requires violating the Shabbos. Again, it's Safek Pikuach Nefesh. The Gemara says V'chai Bohem, even in the case of Safek V'chai Bohem. And now we get to the main point of today's discussion, and that's the sugya in Yuman Daf Pei Gimel Amud Aleph, which you'll see towards the bottom of page 2. Tanu Rabbanan. Misha Achso Bulmus. Rashi says bulmus is a seizure almost, or something like that. Rashi says what happened was he's machmas rivon enov chaos. He says he's so hungry, he hasn't eaten I don't know in how long. His eyes start jumping around. Vahum is sukon lamus. He might die. And Kshemar Iso Choseres Biyaduah Shenisrape. Rashi tells you a medical fact about bulmus that as soon as he gets his eyesight back and his eyes are functioning properly, you know that he's no longer in that dangerous state. But as long as he's in a dangerous state, we have to feed him because he's dying from starvation. And the Mishnah wants to address the following question. What should we feed him? Meaning, we're allowed to feed him even something that's normally forbidden, macholos asuros, but because he's a cholos yesh bo sakon, as Rashi pointed out, but which macholos asuros should we feed him? And the Mishnah says, machilino so hakal kal. Rashi explains, in the first of the wide lines, Rashi says, im elo dvarim mutarim, k'dei tzarko, we don't have enough food that's mutar. V'yesh lefanenu, all we have to offer him is mine isurim, machil no sa kal kal shebahem. In other words, we have a pyramid, a hierarchy of isurim. Some isurim are only also bisrasei, and some are in a losa sechiv malchus. Others go up to a chiyuv kares, and some are even maybe a chiyuv misa v'dei shamayim. Like tevel, for example, is misa v'dei shamayim. Whatever it might be, we're going to go through this pyramid, and we're going to feed him from the bottom and up. In other words, as long as we have from the bottom of the pyramid, that's what we want to feed him. That's what it says in the Mishnah. And now we want to study the Rosh and the Ran. And the Rosh and the Ran, you'll see on page 3. We'll start with the Rosh, which is on the top of the page. And then we go on to the Ran, which is in the middle of the page. And they're all based on the Ravid. Both of them quote the Ravid. So I'll read to you the Rush. after he quotes our Mishnah Machinos al Kalkal on the fourth line, he says, Shalus Haravid Zal. The doctor has determined that he has to eat meat. Im yesh lefan av nevela v'ein shachut. There's no meat that was geshachted, so he only has nevela. So what's the shaila? Im lo shenishchat b'shabbos. Nishchot b'shabbos. We have another option. We have an animal. Let's say we have a tarnagolas, a bird, and we can shecht the bird. Now it's a funny kind of situation here, because if we shecht the bird, so that's a violation of an av malacha, which is called netilas neshama, or shofet in the language of the Mishnah. And then once we shecht, okay, it wasn't a good thing because we violated the Shabbos with an iser malacha dorais on Shabbos, but on the other hand, we don't have to feed him nevela because we have basa shachut. The other option is, let's try to circumvent the need for violating a malacha dorais of Shabbos of Shechita, and let's just simply feed him nevela. So again, what's available is nevela plus a live tarnagolas. What's available is the possibility of feeding him nevela or shechting, violating a more severe iser of Shechita as an av malacha, and at the same time circumventing all the necessity for eating nevela. So what would you say about it, Rabbi Osai?
You don't shave al tasa, you do as little as you can. No?
Oh, so it says hakal kal tchila, correct? Yeah, and therefore we should violate the lesser iser. And that would tip the scale in favor of nevela, because eating nevela is only an iser lav, whereas shechting an animal is an iser misa. Comes along the Ravid in the next line, and he surprises us. And he says, first he quotes the first opinion. He says, Yesho mutav shiyavru alav dinevela mishiyavru al isa skila. So you're okay, Joe, because you belong to the category of the first opinion in the Ravid, which he identifies as the anonymous Yesh Omrim. Okay, so we're going to fill it in, and we're going to go Zeifman Omer, Joe Zeifman Omer. Okay, Omerim, and maybe get a couple other Zeifmans, whatever it is. And that's what the Ravid says in the name of the Yesh Omrim. Then he says, then the Rosh says, but what did the Ravid himself say? But Veheshiv, he said, the Ravid, that Yesh Lomer ki Iser Shabbos kvar nitan lidchos. The Torah allows you to be docha Shabbos with cooking and lighting fires, and in this case, shechting. And therefore, he says, let's go ahead and shecht the animal, because the Torah allowed you to do that. And therefore, he says there's no need to feed him nevela. Why should you feed him nevela? The Torah never said that we should violate the Shabbos. You know, the Torah said violate the Shabbos. The Torah didn't say a word about violating nevela. So if the Torah told us and instructed us to violate the Shabbos, that's exactly what we should do. And you can imagine that the Rosh is not happy about this. What do you mean the Torah told us to violate the Shabbos? Why should we look at it that way? The Torah says you can even, if necessary, violate the Shabbos. But if you could circumvent that, if you could avoid that, and violate a much less Isur, namely of feeding him the Vela, that's what you have to do. So the Rush is not happy with this Ravid. But the Rush agrees with the Psak for an entirely different reason. Not because the Torah says that we're going to push away the Shabbos. The Torah didn't say anything about Nevela. But rather, if we feed him Nevela, we run into a very great fear, or danger. And what danger is that? He says, Shema Yakutz Bachilas Nevela. I don't know, he's going to spin it up, he's going to vomit it, he regurgitates, I can't tolerate Nevela. And by the way, I don't know that nevela tastes any different than basar shachut. I never tasted nevela, but I have no reason to believe that if the animal dies, it's going to taste any different. Maybe this is a psychological thing, that if he knows the chola, that you know, it's not like we cut up the meat and give him a piece of meat, and it's sat meshchita. We weren't fooling him. But he knew that the food that they're giving him is nevela. I don't know. I'm not sure. The Rush doesn't tell you why he's cuts bibachilas or bachilas nevela. The poskim here want to know, what would the Rush say in a case where he's not cuts? Like the case that I gave you, he doesn't even have a clue that what he's eating is nevela. So there's no reason why he would regurgitate it. So that's going to be a discussion on page 13 at the very end of this entire pekala. In the name of the Archas Shabbos, that's Rav Rubin from Harnov, and he wants to say that according to the Rush, if there's no chashash of Shema Yakutz b'achilas nevela, then El Chinami, that's exactly what the Rush would advocate, that we have to feed him nevela. The only thing is, I'm having trouble.
Do we get into the Timtum Aguf?
I understand what you're saying, Timtum Alev, yeah. I was thinking that maybe the Rush means on a metaphysical level, because there's Timtum Alev, he's going to regurgitate the food, but that's a bit of a stretch.
One second, how can you say that? Because if the halacha is that you should go with the nevela, then the shechita on Shabbos is Timtum Aguf as well. Eating that.
Well, no, there's Joe.
There's a special
ruach atuma, which I can't explain to you. Don't ask me. But a special whammy on macholos hasura that has an impact on you. If you shech the animal, that's not macholos hasuros. Again, there are other dinim derabbanon.
You shech an animal on Shabbos.
So then, that's derabbanon. Then we're dealing with the doraisas. You know, midoraisa, you're allowed to eat the food, and you could feed it feed it to the chasen kala during Shivas Yemei HaMishnah. But one second, I just wanted to see if I have the language here of Rav Rubin in front of me. Okay, right now, for some reason, I'm not finding it. I know it's here, but... All right. So again, I'm just pointing out that l'chora, the logical deduction here is that according to the Rush, we would prefer to feed him nevela if and only if we could be absolutely sure that he wouldn't know the difference and there would be no chashash of yakutz bachilasa. Assuming he knows it's nevela, and therefore there's a chashash of Shema Yakutz b'achilasa, b'achilas nevela, then the Rush says, you know, I'm going to agree with the Raivid, but not because of the Raivid's logic. The Raivid insists that the Torah was Matir Shabbos for this Pikuach Nefesh. And nevela has nothing to do with Shabbos. So when we're coming to Shabbos and we want to know what we're allowed to do to be Mechal Shabbos, the answer is we could do a Malach on Shabbos. So don't start overriding nevela when you could just simply override Shabbos, because that's what the Torah told you to do. And then we get to the Ran. The Ran, in the 8th parak of Yuma, on this Gemara, on the Rif, says the following. He says, Nishal la Raivid Zal, imayachole sheyeshbo sakana, the first of the white lines in the Ran, v'tzorach lishchal lo tarnegoles. He says, what should we do? We have another option of feeding him nevela, she'en bo el isa lav, v'heshiv, he says, what's preventing him from living? It's the Isur Shabbos. He needs Shechita to be, to violate the Shabbos in order to be able to eat. You know, the Lava Nevela, that's not really what's holding him back over here. What's being ma'akiv him is the Isur Shabbos. So what does the Torah say about the Isur Shabbos? The Torah says we push it aside for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh. So that's exactly what we should do. He says, Teda she'ilu lo haya Shabbos, lo haya lo ha'inu mevakshim lo nevela el shchuta. That's the only reason we're looking for nevela is because of the Isur Shabbos. If it didn't have to do with the Isur Shabbos, then for certainly we would shech the animal and feed him shchuta. We wouldn't start playing around and feeding him nevela. So again, the source, the real reason why we have an issue about nevela is only because of Shabbos. If not for Shabbos, then we wouldn't have nevela over here. We would have shchuta. But the problem is that we can't get shchuta because of the Issur Shabbos of shchita. So the Torah says about that, that if that's what's preventing him from living, if we absolutely need to do the shchita, that's what we're going to do. And the Torah was matir for the sake of chola Shabbos. Vitmini. Yeah, God, I just wanted to, just give me a minute, Bobby. I just want to read the Ran's reaction to this Raivin. He says, Vitmini, I don't get it. Im kain matza tarnagoles nechura. If let's say we found a tarnagoles that died through nechira, means it's an avail, it's not shchita. So then this is the food that, you know, that we want to use to save the man. Is then nachileno also? Then according to the Ravid's logic, we should feed him nevela. The lo nishchot lo, and we're not going to shecht him. Now, just like you said, that what's being ma'akiv him in the first case, and all he has in front of him is nevela, is the fact that he has a live animal, he needs to shecht it. So the isur shchita on Shabbos is what's bothering him. Had it been on the rest of the week on Chol, you would not have to violate the Shabbos, and that's what we do in Shecht for him. So he says the following, but if we have an Issa Nevela in front of us, why not feed him the Nevela? The answer is the Issa Nevela is being Ma'akiv, so now we're going to say that the Torah is Mati the Issa Nevela for the sake of a Chai Bohem. Aval Nira Li, therefore the Ran says, I have a different approach. This is not the Rosh's approach, and he's already rejected the Ravid, and he says the Legabe Choleh, Ein Isur Nevela Kal the Isur Shabbos. Wow. In other words, we have to prove the rule, and it's an ironclad rule, is violate the Isur Kal. But Nevela is not Isur Kal. Why not? I mean, does anybody know what the Ran is about to say?
What's that?
Can you guess what the Ran is going to say? Why, again, if you ask me between violating the Shabbos and shechting the animal, which is the Malacha d'Oraisa, and feeding him nevela, clearly nevela is an Isur Kal, it's only an Isur Lav. Why does the Ran insist, I'm just seeing if you can guess what he's going to say before I let the cat out of the bag, that nevela is not an Isur Kal vis-a-vis Shabbos? Why?
Because every kazayas that he eats,
excellent.
I read it, so I'm not going
to... Oh, you have it in front of you? I'm impressed. Yeah. Hey man, you have good eyesight. It looks tiny. All right, I got this new phone. It's like gigantic. Though I can't even. I don't know how to figure it out how to work it. But somebody told me if this you know, I'm having a lot of heartache with this laptop. I mean, Yudi knows what I'm talking about. So I said to my I didn't want to schlep back to Har Nof because there I could do it on a different computer. Maybe I'm not even sure about that. But I didn't want to do it on, you know, Schlepp Tar Nofia because, you know, I gave a few shiurim here in the Amic Learning Center, and tonight we have Yom Ha'atzma'ut. So we have here a Sa'uda here for Yom Ha'atzma'ut, the speaker from the army. You know, so I didn't going to schlep back and then schlep back, and who knows what kind of traffic there's going to be, you know, as we enter into Yom Ha'atzma'ut. So I knew I had to do the Skype from the ELC. And this has been giving me... So anyway, I showed my new phone to somebody. He said, Rabbi, you could Skype from your phone. So I had a fallback position, but thank God the laptop works. So he says the following. I will nearly to Lagabi Chole Ein Iser Kal Ein Iser Nevela Kal Mi Iser Shabbos. You know, you read these words and you jump out of your skin. What do you mean, Ein Iser Nevela Kal Mi Iser Shabbos? He says, "Nehi de nevela iser lav and Shabbos iser skila, ika chumra be nevela." Why? Lefisha ochla over belav al kol kizayis u kizayis sheba. Kin amrina legabi nazir shayishose amrlo al tishta vushose chayv al kol achas viachas. In other words, every revius yayin that he drinks incurs another chiyuv malchus. Avalisa Shabbos lo avar ela b'shas shchita, and therefore v'chad lavu. It's only a violation of one lav. The ikah, and therefore Shabbos becomes kal. Wow, this is amazing.
I have a question.
David, yeah.
My question is, that on this whole logic, it seems to me that the person is a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, so he can eat the mela because his life's in danger. But the shechit is being done by other people.
And therefore what?
The chayla himself, I think, is more permitted, not more permitted, whatever, but he should be permitted to save his own life, to eat the mela. Even though it's an Israel for everybody.
I don't know, Dave. For some reason, I never encountered that. It's a different kind of logic. The svaras that we're working with is, how do we minimize Chil Shabbos? How do we minimize Isur Nevela? You're saying, well, you know, it's the Chol himself, and here it's us. We're doing the Shkita.
The Hetter is not for him. The Hetter is for everybody. All right,
we don't have that much time, so I just want to focus your attention on the svara of the Ran. The Ran is saying that if you add up many violations, even though they're only Isur Kalim, they tip the scale in terms, you know, vis-a-vis a more serious violation that you only violate once. You only have to shecht one tarnagolas on the Shabbos.
Rav, I don't understand it, because we're saying here there's no love. There's nothing. You're not doing anything because it's completely off. So every time, every kazayas he's eating, he's not eating Ezer. He's not doing it.
Oh. It's hutra.
Okay. So that's what we're getting to right now. You know, but I just wanted to go through one more point before we get to your point, Joe, as to whether or not we're dealing with hutra and the Torah is completely mutter or dechuya, and that's the Maharam Rutenberg, the Rush that I quoted to you earlier on the top of your page 3, quotes his Rebbe, the Maharam Rutenberg, and he writes that Shabbos Hutra Eitzel Pikuach Nefesh. And the Beis Yosef, which you'll see here on page 3 on the bottom, says that Hakol toli b'machlokas, this whole issue about whether shecht the animal or rather feed him nevela, tolu, it all depends on a machlokas. In nemar, do we say A or B? Shabbos dechuyetzel chole or Shabbos hutreitzel chole? Di im nomar hutra shochtim lo, delo osra Torah melecha Shabbos eitzel chole. And therefore, shochtin lechola b'Shabbos, k'derech she shochtin anu le'atzmenu b'yontif. Aval l'man diomer dechuya hi machilin also nevela v'ein anu ovrim lishchot shebemokum sheyesh lo basar lechol lo navar anu v'lo nidche Shabbos. Meaning, if he has the option of eating nevela, that's right there. That's what he has to do if you hold the chuya. Now, before we see the final psak of the Beis Yosef, which is on the next line, I just want to digest what he's saying. The Ravid he's saying, who allows shechita in this case, is based on the principle called hutra, that Shabbos hutra itzel chola. That's a little bit odd, because the Torah, according to Shmuel, and that was the final opinion there in Pehei, says v'chay bohem v'lo shel yomus bohem, meaning for the sake of his life, will violate the Shabbos. That sounds more like the chuya. There's no heter that's written here explicitly in the Torah that there's no melecha Shabbos in the case of a chola. But anyway, this is the Ravid's view, and according to Ravid's point of view, hutra means that when he shechts the animal, as Joe said very well, he's not violating the Shabbos. The Torah tells you to shecht on Shabbos for the sake of a chola. So what are you going to tell me? Let's feed him nevela? Well, nevela is not the issue over here. And during the week we would feed him shchuta. The issue here is Shabbos. Ah, says the writer, there's no Easter of Shabbos because of hutra. Comes along the Beis Yosef and he says, we paskin dechuya. And what does that mean? Dechuya means let's minimize the violation. Now this is good before the Ran. Before the Ran, the Rush is going to say that, you know what, we really should be feeding him nevela. And Rav Rubin says, according to the Rush, in many cases we will feed him nevela, as long as there's no kshash of yokud. So why are we feeding him nevela? Because that's an Isur Kal. Why are we looking for an Isur Kal? Because of Dechuya. And that means that we're Dechuya means like mikoshi, you know, it's really difficult for us to allow the violation of this Isur, in this case Shabbos. Let's try to see if we can circumvent such a violation, and then even if we have to violate something else, but we'll go for something that's an Isur Kal. Comes on the Rani, says, okay, you know, if he all he has to eat is one kizayis in the vela, then there's no question we'll feed him the vela, that's an Isur Kal. But we have to feed him a second kizayis in the vela, etc., etc. That already jumps him up to an Isur Chomer. But fundamentally, everybody except for the Ravid, all the Rishonim, are accepting the view of the Chuya. But let me qualify what I'm saying. The Ravid for sure is not accepting the Chuya. The Ravid advocates that we shecht the bird. And the reason for that is because of Hutra. And not only that, the Maram Mirudenberg, as quoted here by the Rosh, says that HaShabbos Hutra Eitzel Pikuach Nefesh. And even though one might say that, you know, there are various Rishonim here who are arguing whether we should shecht on behalf of the Chol or better give him the Vela, and maybe that argument revolves around Hutra and Dechuya, but nevertheless, we have someone as great as the Maram Mirudenberg who goes on record as explicitly saying the Shabbos Hutra Eitzel Chol. We also have the Ravid sheet that the way the Beis Yosef understands is that that's also Hutra. Now, where is this Hutra and Dechuya? Rabbosai, I have heard of Hutra and Dechuya a million times. In fact, I give Derech Halibut Shirim and Rabbi Chana Wasserman quotes Hutra Dechuya whenever he takes a deep breath, wherever he chants. But where does it come from? Again, you know, the Beis Yosef is saying, you know, 5 centuries ago, that's the issue about a chol on Shabbos, whether we should shecht or we should feed him the vela. But where is the source for this before the Beis Yosef? And the truth is, which I'm very excited about, it's a Gemara in Yuma, and now we want to take a look on page, where is that Vav? Just 1 second. Here it is, at the bottom of page 2. And the Gemara in Yuma says the following. Itmar, Tumas HaMes. We have a principle called Tzibur. Let's say, for example, you know, I don't have to tell you this, that the Kohanim, who are in charge of doing the Avodah, are called the Anshei Mishmar. And Nebuch, something happened, the carcass, I don't know what happened, and all the Anshei Mishmar, one after the other, became Tomei. And we have to bring a carbon Tomei, Lomazog. So the law is that Tumah Hutra, Eitzel Tzibur, comes along Rav Sheshes, and he looks at Rav Nachman, he says, Rav Nachman, you say Tumah Hutra, Eitzel Tzibur? I beg to differ with you. But rather, Tumah is the Chuyah Eitzel Tzibur. And the Gemara asks, my nafkamina, what difference to make whether you call it Hutra Eitzel Tzibur or the Chuyah Eitzel Tzibur? And the Gemara answers, La dure le asui tahore mi beis avachrina. Do we have to go through this tircha? The Gemara calls it a tircha of finding another Kohen who's from a different base Av, he's not even on duty, and we're going to recruit him for this purpose because he's tar, even though the Anshei Mishmar are tmeim. The Gemara says, Rav Nachman, Omer Heter hu b'tzibur v'lo madrinon. The Torah allowed it. We don't have to run around looking for a Kohen tar for Rav Sheshes Omer Dechuya hi. And therefore we have to look for a Kohen tar. Rashi explains, Dechuyahi, and that's about 7 lines down from the top. He says, Bekoshi Hutra. The Torah permitted this act of Hakrava through a Tomei, Bekoshi, with great difficulty. The Torah is kvetching. It hurts. But Velo Heter Gomor, Rashi says, there's no complete Heter. Therefore, Chol Mashem Atzinu La Dure, whatever we could do to try to circumvent and avoid the Iser of Kohen Tomei and Migdash, is Madrinon, we have to do it, Sheyasa Betara. That's called the Chuya, and that's the opinion of Rav Sheshes. But the first opinion, which is Rav Nachman, says Hutra, which means the Torah never prohibited a Tomei from doing the Avodas HaKarban in a case of Tzibur, where the entire, you know, the entire group of Kohanim here are all Tmeim. Just go ahead and do it. And I want to tell you something here. I was surprised, you know, I'm a big fan of olamot.net, And they have must have a really impressive group of scholars. I don't know, I'd like to find out who put this together. But I would have quoted a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara has a case of what's called Ktsitas Baheres B'Mokom Mila. So, you know, this is, well, for us it was last week's parsha. I guess for you it's Heintike parsha.
Yes.
Okay, so Baheres means that you're not allowed to cut off the Tzaras. You know, that would circumvent the whole need for Tara because, you know, he's no longer has the Tzaras as goof. So there's a special law, and the Torah prohibits it. Now we have a problem because the Baheres is located in the Makom Mila, and we have a mitzvah Mila in this child. But we have on the other hand an Iser Ktitzas Baheres. So the Gemara wants to suggest it's a Dorash Eder Miskavim. Why? Because the Moel is not interested in removing the Tumah. He doesn't gain anything. He's doing his job as a Moel. And again, it might be a Malach Shen Tzricha L'Gufa. I mean, again, you know, you have to see the Sugya. I think it's on Kuflam and Gimel, if I remember. But then the Gemara says, you know, it depends. Who's doing the Mila? If it's the father of the child who's doing the Mila, then you know what? He has Kavana, whether he likes it or not, he's benefiting from the fact that his son now becomes Tar.
Because he doesn't have to pay the money?
Say it again? Who's paying what money? Did I hear anything about money?
Is it because he doesn't have to bring a carbon for the son?
Well, no. He's just happy that his son is tar. Because otherwise, you know, he has a son who's tame and go take him to the kohen and go through all the dinim and ezger this and rias ago. Then he has to be, yeah, you're right, he has to be carbonus too. That you're also right. I think Mitzorah has to be three carbon. I don't know if it applies to a carbon. I'm not sure. But the Gemara says, bring Acher. That's the Lashon of the Gemara. In other words, instead of the father doing the Mila, let someone else do the Mila. The Gemara concludes that really the father could do the Mila. Why? Because Ese Dochalosa said. But nevertheless, if we can avoid that, and in the case of an Acher, he would not be violating the Losa said because he has no Kavana, and it goes on the Dovah Shein Miskavit. So Gemara says we have to bring an Acher. That also seems to indicate what, Rabbi Osai? How would you define Esei Dochalosa? Is it Hutra or
the Chuya?
It's the Chuya. I thought that would be an excellent quote of a Sugya that's almost explicit of the Chuya. Again, there the Chuya is on the Iser Ktsitzas Baheres. Here we're dealing with the Dechuya of Shabbos, but he wants to suggest that it's totally in the Sugya in Yuma Daf Vav and Beis. That has nothing to do with Shabbos. The Sugya in Daf Vav and Beis is talking about Havas HaKarbon, and the question is, can the Kohen Tomei bring the Karbon? And the answer is no, because if you hold Dechuya, then you want to bring in a Kohen Tar. But if you hold Hutra, which I think was the sheet of Rav Sheshes, I get mixed up now. Who held what? Just one second. Yeah, Rav Sheshes was the one who held the Chuyah. So Rav Sheshes advocates that we have to bring in a go through the Tircha and you know, go through the phone book and look up Kohen. There are a lot of Kohens in the phone book and get one who's not Tomei. But according to Rav Nachman, it's Hutra, so don't even bother going through the Torah was Matir. Now again, how do we paskin? So I told you that the Marami Ruttenberg says that Shabbos is Hutra. And it seems that that's how they interpret the Ravid sheet as to why we're allowing you to shecht the bird. But I also told you that the Rush and the Ran seems to assume the Chuya. And if you look at the Beis Yosef again on page 4, I'm sorry, the bottom of page 3, the Beis Yosef writes, Ukimidumani li, interesting, Kimidumali, Shehi halacha dechuyah hi velo hutra. Interesting. That we paskin that it's dechuyah and not hutra. So Rabbi Osai, if it's dechuyah, that sheds a whole another different light on our topic today, because maybe the Oledes should be guaranteeing herself a non-Jewish cab driver to take it to the to take her to the hospital, or maybe she has to sleep in the hospital, or next door to the hospital, rent a flat next door to the hospital. So that's the position of the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam to support his position, because the Rambam, which you'll see on the right side of your page, on the bottom of page 3, says D'chuya hi Shabbos Eitzel Sakonis Nefashos. And Maran, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, takes that literally, and he thinks the Rambam is referring to our sugya of Hutra D'chuya, and the Rambam is paskening D'chuya. And he tries to defend the Rambam in the Kesef Mishnah as to why the Rambam would have paskened D'chuya rather than Hutra. I'll be honest with you, I don't see this in the Rambam. I mean, the Rambam does use the word D'chuya, but I don't think the Rambam is entering into the issue of Hutra or D'chuya. D'chuya means that we override the Shabbos. I mean, he's just giving you a general description. Kishar kol mitzvahs, meaning just like a pikuach nefesh is docha all the mitzvahs, so too it's docha Shabbos. The Rambam just wants to tell you that the general universal halacha of pikuach nefesh applies even vis-a-vis the iser chomer of Shabbos. And then the Rambam, listen to the Rambam's language: leficha cholah sheyesh bo sakana osim lo kol tzracha b'Shabbos al pi rofei uman shel oso makom. And the Rambam adds that even in the case of Safek, is we violate the Shabbos. I don't see anything in the Rambam that sounds like the Chuya. I mean, the Rambam should have told me that, my friend, you know, get yourself a non-Jewish physician or a non-Jewish cab driver. I don't know. The Rambam, in my mind, is, you know, when he writes, you know, Osim lo kol tzrocha b'Shabbos, I think he's saying don't hesitate. But in any event, we take a look at the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch writes, and this is the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Shin Chof Ches, that's in the bottom of your page 4. If you look in the third line in the Machaber himself, Hayachol Sheyesh Bo Sakana Mitzarech Basar Shochtim Lo, we should shecht for him. V'ein Omrim Nachilenu Nevela. So I don't know, you know, that sounds a lot like the Raivin. Unless he means the Knech of the Rush, that maybe he'll be Kotzbir Bachiloso. But if you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah number Lamed Tes, Shochtim Lo, he says, Harbe Tamim Nemru Alzeh, Yesh Omri Mishum Deshabis Hutra Eitzel Pikuach Nefesh, and Lachain Shochtim Lo, Kadesh Shochtim Biyantif. That's great. Then it means the Shulchan Aruch, according to this logic, is paskening Hutra, which is not his position in the Beis Yosef. And then he writes, "Aval Havri Rishonim Kosev the Shabbos Chak Dechuyahi." Ella, he says, "Atam." So why are we shechting? The Sheviyeh Kotz Vachilos Nevela Velo Yochal V'Yistaken. And then he writes, "Beis Yosef Hevi Ota B'Shem Aran." To be nevela overall called kizayis, kizayis for chomim yisulav the Shabbos. He says ulufi zebavade mutov lavar ulahoshit lo isid rabbanon mishenechalel Shabbos beisus skila. That's the old dechuya. That's the way Beis Yosef interprets the Shitzar Rosh. He says vehine imachola omer sheeno kotz bachilas nevela. He says, "Again, according to the Rosh, we're worried about cuts b'achiloso." And the Chol himself pipes up and he says, "It doesn't bother me. I am Bachron. I'll call upon him linyan katan. Bevade near the Tov Yosel achilo basa nevela v'lo yishchat adam avuro b'Shabbos." I don't know, you know, why can't we shecht for a katan? A katan is also a pikuach nefesh. So he's saying, well, maybe the katan is not katz b'mizono, so you can give him the vela. I mean, those are very abstract ideas. I don't know. I don't know that that's so. So, let's see. We don't have much time, so I'll just summarize the last point that we made, that l'halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, seems to assume dechuya. That's the way the Mishnah Berurah interprets the Shulchan Aruch, and it's based on the Rosh, and the Ran also seems to be in agreement that it's all a matter of dechuya. We just have to weigh in which is the kal, and therefore he says eating the vela is the chamur and it's not the kal. And l'chora, all this comes down to the question of whether we, in case of the Anshei Mishnah being tmeim, whether we have to look and search for a kohen tahor. The only thing that bothers me here is the Mechaber paskins that we should shecht in the rather than feed him the vela. So I don't know. That sounds like the Ravid shita, hook, line, and sinker. The Ravid we said is based on hutra. So what perplexes my mind, just I'll leave you with this question for now, is that the Mishnah Berurah seems to identify the Mechaber with Shitas HaRosh, that it's Dechuya, and he quotes the Beis Yosef who says that we pass in Dechuya, but yet paradoxically the Shulchan Aruch himself writes Shochtim Lo, we'd rather Shech than violate the Yisr Chomer of Shabbos rather than feed him the Vela. And unless you say he's going to push in the Ran over here, that every Nevela, that's where's the Dechuya here? That why are we shechting the animal if it's Dechuya? And again, a lot of people say, and they quote various poskim, that if we have to be Mechal for a Chol Sheish Bo Sakana, we have to try to find a guy, or we have to do it Kilachar Yad. With a shinui, you heard of a shinui, so that's what.
Why did Rav Moshe stamp his foot, or why did the?
That's what I'm telling you. That I don't know if you have time. I mean, I need another half hour to finish this. I'm going to try to prove to you that although the Mishnah Berurah takes the position of dechuya, that's not the only view. And the Reb Chaim is going to say, again, I'm just giving you, I hate to let the cat out of the bag, but this is the punchline of today's shiur, so Joe has to go, so we'll give it for the sake of Joe. As he's walking out, maybe he'll catch the svara. Reb Chaim wanted to say that he thinks even the Shulchan Aruch agrees to Hutra, and the case is Yom Kippur. What do we do on Yom Kippur? Some poskim say we have to give him less of an Easter on Yom Kippur. We give it at small amounts on small intervals, Chatzi Shir, and so forth and so on. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And Reb Chaim used to say that we feed him a full Seuda. And that's what, remember the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He ran around from one shul to another shul in Vilna to tell everybody go ahead and eat on Yom Kippur. And he didn't tell him
publicly,
right? And he didn't tell him to eat
publicly. We shouldn't have to do.
He didn't tell him that.
Epidemic.
Yeah, he didn't. The cholera epidemic. He didn't have to. He didn't tell him. Well, eat it at intervals of 9 minutes. And he was talking to a tzibur that came to daven ne'ila. I'm sorry. What it's called?
Kol Nidre.
Yeah, Kol Nidre. They were healthy people, but he was afraid of the epidemic.
Yeah.
So Reb Chaim used to say the following: that I'm not against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, when he speaks about a chol sheish bo sakana, he means that if we don't take care of the chola as is, then he's going to become a chol sheish bo sakana. He might die. But if he's already a chol sheish bo sakana, again, he's not going as far as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter is concerned, but Reb Chaim held that there were two categories. The category number one is a person that now is in a life-threatening situation. What does that mean? Right now, you got to do something urgently to save his life. Then there's another kind of chola for which we violate the Shabbos and Yom Kippur. That's a chola that if you don't take care of his needs now, he will become a chola sheyesh bo sakana, and then he might die. And therefore, we have to do everything that we can for him too. Here, Reb Chaim says, if he's not yet a chola sheyesh bo sakana, then the Mechaber insists, ma'achilin oso, kal, then we go through dechuya. So that's why we just want to submit to you as you leave that if you ask me how do we pass in l'alocha hutra dechuya, the answer is like everything in life, it depends. If we're talking he's already a chol sheyesh bo sakana, then it's hutra. If we're talking about a chol that might become a chol sheyesh bo sakana, then it's dechuya.
I have a question.
Rav Salanter, just but Rav Salanter, it sounds like Rav Salanter held either way.
Either way, Hutra. He went straight with Hutra. Right. And I have a tshuva, if we have time, another time maybe, Belina, that we have a tshuva here for Moshe Feinstein, which is very interesting. And he says that, you know, I'll just read to you the punchline. He says, "Im harofe nimtza v'makom sheish od rofim, ein lo lahamtzi atzmo she'a nekel limtzo, so tzach liskar b'misrat shelo, v'lo yisa imo b'shabas ha-telefone, she'yucha limtzo." So, in other words, the rofe doesn't have to already prepare himself by guaranteeing that he won't have to violate the Shabbos, because he might have to violate the Shabbos. All these cheshbonos, says Rav Moshe, are not necessary. He doesn't have to lock himself up in the hospital because, you know, he'll have to violate the Shabbos and take all these calculations into account. It seems to me, again, I don't know, we have to go through the tshuva with a fine-tooth comb, that Rav Moshe is holding Hutra. He's not holding Dechuya.
Well, they hutra when they call him.
Nah, that's what I'm saying. But he doesn't. You know, you might say dechuya. So, like, I know that the chances are they're going to call me. So I might as well pack into the hospital beforehand and do this great tirchah, like going to the Anshei Mishmar of a different day and getting, you know, recruiting a kohen who's a tar and doing that whole rigmarole, so that I don't have to do the avodah bitumah. Correct. And that's called dechuya. Rav Moshe is saying that as far as Chil Shabbos for Chol, we don't paskin Tchuya. We don't have to, you know, calculate in such a way with all the Tircha to make sure that we don't violate the Shabbos. He's not asking you to do that. Now let's go back for a minute to Simon Shin Chaf Ches, but Sif Yud Beis, the earliest Sif. Kishemachalim Shabbos al Chol Sheyesh Bo Sakana. Mishtadlim shelo lasos al yidei enam Yehudim ketanim enoshim el al yidei Yisrael gedolim ubnei das. And it sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is paskening Hutra, which is strange because we know that the Mishnah Berurah attributed the position of Dechuya to the Shulchan Aruch. We know that the Beis Yosef himself seems to indicate that we pasken Dechuya. But yet, the approach seems to be that of Hutra, both in terms of the Gedolim doing it, as opposed to Edom Yehudim, and in terms of the fact that you should shech the animal rather than feed the Chola Nevela. Now, the concept of Shinui here, which is raised by the Ramah, does not seem to reflect itself in the Mechaber. The Ramah writes Yesh Omrim as a different opinion. If shalasus below dichuy below ichur al yidei shinui os al yidei shinui, and it's clear that the Mechaber and the Ramah are arguing about hutra dichuya. The Mechaber doesn't mention a word about shinui. Reflects the hutra position. Whereas the Ramah, who says, no, we have to do it b'dichui, if we can, I mean, if without delay and postponement of saving the person, we have to do it b'shinui, he's advocating the dichui position. And if we look in the Tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein, he writes that in Rofei Nimtza b'makom sheyesh od rofim, Ein lo lahamtzi atzmo shia nekel limtzo, so he doesn't have to do what he has to do so that they can find him. And in the Orchas Shabbos, he writes, Rofe atzorch lagil itapil b'chol sheyesh bo sakana, im adovar eino bohu v'yochol aleches b'regel al yisav b'mchonit el achola. And that seems to reflect the position of Dechuya. And the Kleisenberger Rebbe writes in Divrei Yatziv, Achole ha'ol lovely day sakana b'shabes isha b'sof iburo im yesh chiyuv aleim lishpos mayor of Shabbos b'mokum asomach b'ischolim kedei limnoa achil Shabbos b'nesia. And the Rebbe says it depends upon whether Shabbos is Hutra or Dechuya Itzal Pikuach Nefesh. And if it's Techuya, then he has to do whatever he can to avoid Chil Shabbos. Whereas according to the Man Yomer Chutzah, apparently, then he doesn't have to go out of his way to avoid. But again, this is only in the case of Vadei Pikuach Nefesh. So it seems that Vadei Pikuach Nefesh might be Chutzah, but Safek Pikuach Nefesh is only Techuya. It means that we have various categories and situations that warrant overriding the Shabbos for Chola, and these categories might divide up into Chutra and Techuya. For example, if the Isur is an Isur Doraisa, then we might say Techuya, but if it's an Isur Derabanan, everybody holds its Chutra. That's what the Kloisenberger Rebbe claims. Now, we have also a discussion here about a Chola Nisorer Etzlo Matzav Sakona Sonuch Liyitzias HaShabbos. So now he became a Chola right near the end of Shabbos, and Rav Osher Zelig Weiss in his Minchas Osher wants to know, do we violate the Shabbos? We can wait until Motzi Shabbos. And he suggests that it's Toli Nehutra Dechuy. If the Torah is Matir, then we don't have to wait till after Shabbos. If it's Tchuya, then if we don't lose anything by waiting after Shabbos, why not wait till after Shabbos? That's called Tchuya. And he has also a long discussion here about whether Hutra and Tchuya in Pikuach Nefesh is the same as Hutra and Tchuya in other Isurim. Now, in Masechta Shabbos, which you'll see here on page 2, it's Kufchav Tes, in Perek Mefanim, there's a statement of Rav Hemnuna, Dover She'ein Bo Sakana Omer L'Nochri V'Osa. Rashi says, Chole She'im Lo Yasu Lo Refua Zu Eino Mesukan Lomus U'mikomakom Mesukan Hu La Avol Dover She'yesh Bo Sakana Yisrael Atzmo Osim Lo. He's the Refua, but if he doesn't get the refuah, he's not going to die. So in such a case, we call upon a guy. And the Gemara in the next part of the sugya deals with the case of chaya, a woman after birth. We call it in Yiddish a kim peturin. As far as asiyas madura l'chaya, are you allowed to light the fire to warm her up? Or l'chola b'shabbos? The Rambam paskins, and this you'll see on page 5. Let's read the Rambam's Lashon here in Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid of Hilchos Shabbos. The Rambam says, Osu madura l'chaya, aval ein osu madura l'chola l'schamein ba. So the Rambam differentiates between chaya and chola. So the Magid Mishnah says that in a cholish yesh bo sakana is mashban shalach lechol tzrocha mechal in af bisha ein b'mniyas dover shalosim lo sakana. This Magid Mishnah really, in a sense, is kovea masmeros of hutra, because he's talking about a case of a chola, and we're doing something for the chola called Tsarkov, even if had we not done that, he would not die. Ein b'minias dover sakana. And the Achronim want to explain what the Magid Mishnah is saying, and how do you know that you can be Mechal Shabbos for something that it's not really a pikuach nefesh for the chola? But again, it would seem that the Magid Mishnah is really codifying the halacha, the principle of hutra. And the Sukkachover in Avnei Nezer says the following in explaining the Magid Mishnah. This is language, which you'll see here on page 8, Simon Kuf Yud Ches. Shabbos hutra yitzel cholosh ein bo sakana. V'chein mutal asel cholosh yesh bo sakana gam dvorim she'ein b'miyosam sakana. Now, what that means is, hutra, basically. And if you look at Kovetz Ha'aris, which is brought down here from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, Kolzman Shacholam Misukan Adayin Lo Nigmera Mitzvahs Pikuach Nefesh, as long as the chol is still in danger, we haven't completed the mitzvah of saving his life. Al kein rashoi lahamshichu chal Shabbos gam lemeshe ein bo ata pikuach nefesh mishum she Shabbos hutreitzol pikuach nefesh. So we see again in the Magen Mishnah, and now we see it in the Avnei Nezer, that there is a principle called hutra. And the truth is that as far as the Achra L'maisa, at least in the Bir Aloch L'Mishneh Berurah, which you'll see here in Simon Shin Chav Ches, the Maskana seems to be that on a Deraisa, on Issa Deraisa, we should be Machmir and Paskin Dechuya, which would be against the Magen Mishnah and the Maram Mirutenberg. However, it's not clear to me, at least, that that's the final psak. As we say, Od Chazol Lamoed, you know, we'll have to come to some final conclusion, but that'll require a lot more research. Okay, Yashka, thank you so much.